The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this, and they followed him on foot from all their towns. And when he disembarked, he saw a vast crowd. His heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, his disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds that they may go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all that we have here." And then he said to them, "Bring them to me." And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and two fish, looking up to heaven, he said the blessing. He broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000, not counting the women and the children. The Gospel of the Lord. A nun who spoke here years ago, a very liberal feminist woman, wonderful lady. She wrote a book, Not Counting the Women and the Children. And that was her way of beginning to make a statement in her book about this reading, Not Counting the Women and the Children. So let me look at this, and we could pause over this for a long time. There are many ways to approach it, but I will try to extract from it one teaching that might be of value to us when we carry the Word of God from here into our daily lives. Many of you who have been to the Holy Land may remember Tagba on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, where this miracle took place. It's a large enclosed area, silent, and a place for contemplation. And all our pilgrims, we had Mass at Tagba, where Jesus had the miracle of the loaves and fish. It has been biblically established through archaeology that that indeed was the place of the miracle. The second thing to look about this is when Jesus arrived, he saw a vast crowd. First thing is he saw the crowd. Now, when the Gospels say Jesus sees, that's not just seeing visually, it's not just observing. When you see as Jesus sees, you see beyond what is on the surface. He saw their hunger, he saw their struggle, he saw their sick. He saw something that is beyond normal vision. Now we see people struggling and people sick, and we feel sorry for them. But when Jesus sees, it means he connects. It means he belongs. You know, sometimes in our conversation, when I'm explaining something to you, you keep saying, I see what you mean. That means you're connecting with me. Well, in a larger way, that's what happens in this gospel. We all need to be seen. The opposite to love is not hate, it's indifference. If you really want to punish somebody, you make them unseen. You ignore them. You overlook them. You make them not count. They're not important. When you see somebody, as Jesus sees, you see something inside the person. You see what's moving the person. You see the wound, the hurt. You see the hopes, the dreams. Jesus sees. The first thing to observe about this, Jesus sees the crowds. And you'll find this many times in the life of Jesus. He sees the leper. But he doesn't just see the leper. He understands the leper. He belongs to the leper. He sees the wound. He sees the hurt. He sees the isolation of the leper. When he sees in a manner beyond normal seeing. The second thing is, when Jesus sees, it says he's deeply moved. That's very important. You'll find this over and over again in the life of Jesus. He sees and he is deeply moved. The Greek word splangzitsamai. It means he is really traumatized. There's something deep inside. We don't experience that very often. I mean, if somebody close to us dies or there's a tragedy or so, then we are deeply, deeply moved. But the extraordinary, infinite love of Jesus Christ, when he sees something that we would consider fairly normal, because of the abundance of infinite love, Jesus is deeply moved. We can only understand that as a great act of faith. There's no logic. There's no reason that will lead you to believe this. It's an act of faith. When Jesus looks at you and looks at me, he sees the pain, the hopes, the dreams. We see things that we hide. We even hide from ourselves. Stuff deep within us. Embarrassing things, things that show our limitations. But Jesus sees and he is deeply moved. He has compassion, understanding, forgiveness, infinite love. The first thing to notice about this miracle. You know, it's years and years ago since I read Eduardo Gaetano's book, The Book of Embraces. And in that book, he tells one story. I still remember it. I don't remember much about the book, but I remember this story. It's set in Managua, Nicaragua. And it's told by this doctor, Fernando Silva, who was working at a hospital for children who were very sick. The setting is Christmas Eve. It's late on Christmas Eve. And the fireworks are going off, and the children can hear the carols, the singing of the carols for Christmas. And this doctor is about to leave the ward with the children, and he's about to turn out the lights, and he hears a little boy saying, "Tell somebody I'm here. Tell somebody I'm here." We all need to be seen. We all need to be heard. There's not one of us who doesn't need somebody to listen to us. Who in your life listens to you? I mean, when something important happens or some tragedy, where do you go? You have somebody to listen to you, to give you time. That's what it means to see. And that's what it means to have compassion. I mean, look around in our society. We are seeing people who are greatly struggling in our society. They're full of fear. We see poverty around us. We see undocumented people yearning, full of fear. But we just see. We don't see as Christ sees. Maybe in our own families. Maybe we're not seeing. We're too busy. We're rushing. Tell somebody, I'm here. We might have said that ourselves someday. I'm misunderstood, I'm lonely, I feel neglected. Tell somebody I'm here. Move along in this miracle moment. Jesus multiplies the loaves and fishes and he breaks the loaves. Watch the manner in which it's told in all four gospels. It is the only miracle which appears in all four gospels. And especially in the Gospel of John, it's a very long treatment in the Gospel of John. As you know, John does not have the Eucharist at the Last Supper in his Gospel. So chapter 6, the feeding of the multitude, is the Eucharist in the Gospel of John. Jesus takes the bread, he looks up to heaven, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives it to his disciples to feed the multitude. And they all ate, and they were satisfied. Very powerful. They all ate. They were hungry. They ate, and they were satisfied. This has to do with Eucharist. Years and years ago, when I was a pastor. That's my last incarnation. And I was dealing with Eucharistic ministers. I asked that a Eucharistic minister to the homebound or people sick would only take two persons, not three, four, or five, just two. So that when you bring the Eucharist to somebody, it's not just communion. It's Eucharist. I'm bringing the world. I'm bringing the church. I'm bringing the faith which I shared with a community of faith here. Bring life. Bring the children. Bring your dog. Bring your cat. Bring whatever makes life for this lonely, empty person. Bring life. If the person needs food for the body, bring food. If the person needs to go to a doctor, drive the person. That's what it means to be living Eucharist. St. Augustine says, behold who you are and become what you receive. Become the body of Christ. Become the one who feeds other people. Become the one that when the person leaves you, they're satisfied. They're peaceful, they feel cared about, they feel loved, they feel forgiven. That's the meaning of living Eucharist. I had a wedding yesterday for a fabulous young couple. And I was explaining to them that the sacrament of marriage is not holy because it happens in a church. The sacrament of marriage is holy if two people make it holy. If two people forgive, if they believe in one another, if they understand one another, if they're patient, if they listen to one another, that's holy. Not because it happens in a church, it happens in a home. That's where a marriage is holy. And that's where Eucharist comes to life. We come here on Sunday to share the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. When we leave here, we become Eucharist for all whom we meet.
We care about people. We're generous. We forgive. We understand. We listen. We allow people to be seen. That's the meaning of this gospel. So when we come forward here in a little while to the table of the Lord and say, when we belong to this table, we belong to one another. When we belong to one another, we belong to the world. So when we go forth from here, we're bringing the power of Jesus Christ, the gift of the Eucharist. We are living Eucharist for all whom we meet. Now we'll struggle, we'll make mistakes, but we have to be led by an ideal. Let the ideal lead us. We won't always be successful, we'll make mistakes, we'll need forgiveness, but we are led by an ideal which we call the Eucharist, the living Christ, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we will go forth from here, and whoever you meet today, whatever happens in your life today, bring Christ to the world. Make the Eucharist alive. Amen.